Our text will be verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, hear God's word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, we would ask now that you would open your word to us, that you would teach us, that we might gain greater insight and knowledge, and most especially that our faith might be strengthened, that by virtue of the mediation of Christ continuing to administer this peace to us, we might have faith by which to receive that ongoing peace. And so help us, we ask now. Give us discernment, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the consequences or the fruit of justification. And we can liken those consequences, that fruit, to an orchard of luxuriant trees. Various kinds of trees with many different kinds of fruit and abundant fruit. If God has constituted, declared, and accepted you as righteous by virtue of Christ's work on your behalf, his obedience for you, his death for you, his resurrection for you, if God has so constituted, declared, and accepted you as righteous by virtue of Christ's work, then we would expect much in the way of blessings to flow to us by virtue of that saving grace and that work done in our lives. We would expect consequences, blessings, greater manifestations of that grace in a life of communion and fellowship with our God. Now, last week we considered the first fruit, and that is freedom. Christian liberty, being delivered from God's wrath, being delivered from the condemnation of the law, being delivered from the accusation of the devil and even our own consciences, delivered from the dominion of sin and delivered from the fear of death. We've had much bestowed upon us in that liberty. Being delivered from these things, God has then bestowed upon us assurance of his love. He has given to us his Holy Spirit, which testifies with us that we are his children. He has given us free access unto him moment by moment, a power to live righteous lives and to follow Christ, a clear conscience, a sure expectation of resurrection. Freedom, liberty. Nothing can prevent you from pursuing a prosperous life in your God. Now this morning, we wander further into this orchard, and we come upon another tree that has abundant sweet fruit, and we can call this tree peace. Now, in our text this morning, chapter 5, verse 1, there are at least three characteristics of that peace that Paul gives to us in this verse. First, peace is relational. Second, peace is perpetual. And then third, peace is mediated. Relational, perpetual, mediated. And so let's take each point in its turn. Peace is relational. I want you to notice the preposition that Paul uses in this verse, in that environment where he is talking about our peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Here's the preposition. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. This preposition is used in a close connection or relationship, person to person. In John 1:1, John uses the same preposition. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The idea is that Jesus, as the Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, was always in the presence of God. It's as though he was always before the face of God, that they were face to face together. The Word was with God. That little preposition implies that. A close connection or a relationship, person to person. And so Paul chooses this preposition when he describes our peace, that we now have peace with God. You see, what he's stressing is that personal relationship, that before the presence of our Father, there is that sense, that state, that condition of peacefulness. God is at peace with us, reconciled with us, and we are at peace with Him. Paul is describing as a benefit of justification, in which our relationship with the Lord is characterized, our relationship with the Lord, by virtue of our justification, our relationship with God is characterized by peace. The idea here is no more hostility, no more anger. Sinai is behind us. God's smile is upon us. Though the thunder clouds might gather, we might hear the rumble, we might see the lightning, it might be dark at times in your lives. I know that. There are burdens, there are afflictions, there are adversities. And there are times when we can't see God. Or we are afraid that lightning and that thunder, the darkness is enclosing upon us out of anger, out of judgment, out of punishment and displeasure. My friends, I'm here to declare to you in Christ that is not the way in which we are to consider the circumstances of our lives. Your lives are at peace. God is at peace with you. We need to distinguish this understanding of peace with another reference that is often turned to. In Philippians 4:7, Paul speaks of the peace of God that passes understanding. Now note the preposition again. And we should be, though perhaps not as expert as some in the congregation with grammar, when we come to the Scripture, we should at least know something of English grammar when we go to the Scripture. If not, you're not going to understand the Bible. You'll be I won't go there. Preposition. Peace of God that passes understanding. What Paul is speaking of in Philippians 4:7 is really an experience. Paul is describing really a further blessing of peace, really a result of the peace that he speaks of in Romans 5. This peace of God is, we could say, subjective. It's experiential. It's a calm. It's a repose. It's an ability to trust, to rest in God through all afflictions and trials, not to be overly anxious, not to be overly worried, not to be losing sleep, not to be fretting, but that ability to cast our burdens upon Him and to wait upon Him and go through the most difficult circumstances, trusting, knowing that He is leading, that He is there, that we can rest in Him. The peace of God that passes understanding. Now, my friends, that's a tremendous blessing. But that really flows and comes second to what Paul is speaking of here when he speaks about peace with God. In Romans, he's speaking not of an experience before affliction, but rather he's speaking of a peace that is characteristic of our relationship, not before affliction, but before God Himself. You see, it's relational. And the most fundamental and basic relationship that a human being can have with his or her Creator, with his or her God. Peace with God. It's comprehending and describing a close relationship in which there is no more static, no more tension, no more anger, no more darkness, thunder rolls, lightning, the sword, no more harm, no more fear, no more anxiety in that relationship that we have with our God. Peace with God. He is no longer angry. He's no longer wrathful. His justice has been satisfied fully upon His Son, Jesus Christ. Propitiation. We considered that how many weeks ago? Though once we were His enemies, now we are His beloved children. You, once enemies, now beloved children. At one time we were at war. We're a warlike people. We were at war with nature. Someone described humanity as the stepchild of nature. It seems like every other aspect of nature finds its niche, but not man. Not the human race. Stepchild. We were at war with one another, despising, criticizing, self-centered, sometimes even to the point of being cruel and violent. We're at war even within ourselves. Conflicted people, pathetic, pathological, neurotic. People afraid, insecure, hardened, even with ourselves. Not at peace with ourselves for sure, often at war. There's the schizophrenia of the sinful condition. And all of this, stepchildren of God, despising one another, out of joint, even with ourselves, all ultimately pointing to a war with God, our Creator. It's like walking into a war zone, caught behind enemy lines, and then we realize, really, there are no lines. There's no way I can cross into friendly territory because I am the enemy. Enemy to nature, enemy to others, enemy to myself, because ultimately I'm God's enemy. But now God has reconciled you to Himself. He's given you His Son, whose blood was shed, and that blood speaks much better than the blood of Abel, we are told. That blood speaks peace. Peace. God is reconciled to you, my friends. The war is over. But put down the weapons. Take off the helmet. Don't worry about those devices that might blow you up alongside of the road. Peace. But now, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so peace is relational. And it speaks to the most fundamental and basic relationships. Your relationship with your Creator, with your God. He's no longer angry. He loves you. No longer His enemy, His child. Now, second, Peace is perpetual. It's relational. It's perpetual. Again, look at the grammar of the text. If you have your Bibles open, you should. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the first phrase in the New American Standard, at least. Having been justified by faith. It's in a tense that often is translated in the English past tense, but it's the aorist tense, which means completed. And what Paul is saying in the grammar, as well as in the words, the concept, you have already been, and it's completed, and irrevocable. It cannot be changed, cannot be reversed. A future judgment that was made for you already. You have been constituted, declared, and accepted as righteous. And that has happened, and it's completed. It occurred upon faith in Christ, completed, and can't change. Justified. But now look at the next phrase. Having been justified, past tense, completed tense, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace. Present progressive tense. That is, that peace is now with us and will always be. We will enjoy that state, that condition of peace with God now and forever. Perpetual. Can't be revoked, can't be changed. That state, that condition, can't enter into a war again. We have peace with God. A continual state. Among governments, peace is a valuable and often a scarce commodity. Think of how many times, my friends, how many times Israel and the Palestinians have entered into agreements, accords, various covenants, discussions about peace, and then consider how many times those accords, those treaties, those agreements have been broken again and again and again. Perhaps we could get a little closer to home in our marriages. Peace is a valuable and, sad to say, at times, a scarce commodity. There may be a hot war occurring within our relationships. There may be a cold war occurring within our relationships. But how often peace breaks down within the home? And this is what Paul is talking about. It's not a subjective experience of calm and repose. What he's talking about is relationships. And to be sure, within governments, we see often a lack of peace. And in our own relationships, even the most intimate relationships, there tends to be a lack of peace. And though at times there's a reconciliation, we're just waiting for the other shoe to fall and for that peace to drop off again. But not with God. With the Lord, the war has ceased. He has declared peace by the lips of His own Son, Jesus, and by the blood that dripped from the cross. There is peace, and that is irrevocable, irreversible. It is perpetual, continual. God will always be at peace with you, my friends. Always. What is the significance of that peace that is perpetual? God will continue to demonstrate His faithfulness to you. We know that in nature. The prophets say, as surely as the sun rises and sets, with that certainty you know, even with greater certainty, that God will be faithful to you in His covenant. He will not change the terms of peace. Isaiah, will a mother forget her newborn infant? No, that's unheard of. A mother will not forget a newborn infant, but even if she does, I will never forget you, my people. I will never forget you. And to be sure, Jeremiah, who looks unto the Lord, even in the midst of a lamentation. Your mercies are renewed every morning, every day, O God. Your mercies are renewed every day. Peace is a valuable and it can be a scarce commodity in this world, but not in your relationship to the Lord. He speaks peace. Always peace. Everyday peace. In the morning, noon, night, peace. To you, His people, put down your arms. Stop being afraid. Peace. You see, sin and wrath will not have the last word. Peace and grace will. Consider His desire for communion with you, His people. We often carry an image of God. Luther, last week, I quoted from Luther this fantasy. We all have a fantasy world. Being created in the image of God, we have very powerful minds, but sometimes our minds can be rather distorted, and so we create our own world that sometimes has little to do with the real world, with what is true. And so we create this world for ourselves in which we misinterpret many, many relationships, but most especially, I think, we misinterpret our relationship with the Lord. Think of your communication with one another. Think of your communication with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, and how often you pass each other in the night in the way in which you communicate. You don't understand one another. You misinterpret one another. You make assumptions and presumptions all the time that distort the communication. What about your relationship with God? What kind of fantasy world have you created about Him in which there is much distortion? Much that is false. Much that is hurtful. Think about His Word. You see, we think of God at times angry, wrathful. Things don't go so well. Seems like my life is unraveling and falling apart. What is God doing? Chasing me, hounding me, punishing me. You ever think those thoughts? You know, our mind becomes like a little Sinai, and the thunder is rumbling and roaring, and the lightning is going, and we see God with a distorted lens, my friends. We need to think about His Word. Let His Word and Spirit be the stage hand that builds the set within the mind. Let the Spirit and the Word be the author of the very play that is carried out within the mind. Let the Spirit and the Word be the counselor as that dialogue takes place. Why don't you just keep quiet and then listen to the Spirit speak in His Word about God? And if you listen carefully, let Him be the stagehand. Let Him be the author. Let Him be the counselor. And listen. Listen carefully. Stop speaking. We are so apt to jump and to speak, to interpret and misinterpret. Would you just stop and listen? Just stop and listen. And what you will hear are words of peace. Peace. No more war. No more hostility. God does not want that. No more wrath. Peace. God is at peace with you, and that peace is firmly established. Perpetual. Every day. And so, three characteristics of peace. Peace is relational, Peace is perpetual. And then peace is mediated. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the full title, the full name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Really a rich phrase. He purchased peace for you. Listen, from Isaiah. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our peace fell upon him. For he himself, Ephesians, for he himself is our peace, having put to death the enmity between Jew and Gentile, and the enmity between the human race and God. For he himself is our peace, putting to death the enmity. War is over. The hatred is now gone. It has been killed, slain, buried, put to death. And he came, and he preached peace to you. Peace to you who were afar off. Peace to you who were near. Colossians 1:20. Through Christ, the Father reconciles all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Having made peace through the blood of the cross. But you see, Christ not only gained peace for you in his ministry, in his word, and dying upon the cross. My friends, he continues to speak peace to you. Continues. Relationship with God at peace. Perpetual every single day peace. Because it's mediated to you through a living Savior. By his word and spirit, Christ still ministers to you day by day. Interceding on your behalf, he continues to reveal dimensions of that peace. He persuades you of the benefits of that peace. He governs you in order that you might have a felt sense of that peace. He overcomes all of that which would militate against that peace, even that which occurs within your own mind and conscience. Christ continues to minister. Do you know that ministry? He lives. And I'm as sure of that as I'm facing you. And perhaps with greater life than those sitting even before me. And he mediates benefits to his people. Make no mistake about that. Are you included among those people? Is Christ mediating his peace day by day to you? Do you know that? Do you sense that? Being governed, persuaded, powers and influences overcome, felt sense of his peace to such an extent that you begin to enjoy that communion, enjoy that peace. Interesting news article, the front page of Friday's paper, you catch it, Columbus Dispatch, entitled, House Wants Preachers to Tone It Down. Anybody see that? House Wants Preachers to Tone It Down. I can sympathize. You probably have some, you know, the various magistrates, local, state, and even federal will have ministers come and lead in prayer to open various sessions of Congress. And you know some ministers are going to take, you know, just be indiscreet, show poor judgment, take advantage of that opportunity. So in their prayer, they're going to start preaching. They're going to preach about abortion. They're going to preach about homosexuality. They're going to try to evangelize through the prayer. And you know that some ministers just are foolish in doing that. But not all. And here, House wants preachers to tone it down. Excessive evangelizing, too many controversial topics, and way too much Jesus. Way too much Jesus. There's a growing concern that prayers recited at the start of the Ohio House sessions are potentially offensive to some members, and has pushed leaders to insist that all prayers be turned in for review at least 3 days in advance. Now, if you were a Puritan, boy, you would be, no way. I don't recite prayer prayers, and I'm not going to write them down and have them reviewed 3 days in advance. And rightly so. You see, this is an encroachment upon our freedom again, our liberty. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Well, Connie, too much Jesus? How can you have too much Jesus? He's the mediator. He is the Lord, the sovereign Lord over the nations for the sake of his church. And he mediates all things. All benefits to his people. You can't have too much Jesus. You can't. He's the one who mediates benefits, and in part he persuades you. He instructs you. He instills within you. He assures you. He protects you. In that peace, God is no longer angry with you. You got it? No more hostility. Even though things get bad, and we will look in Romans 5 later when Paul brings up the issue of adversities and trials and everything else, God is not after you. He loves you with an everlasting love. You are free in Christ, and there's a peace that we can enjoy. Peace. How do we come to enjoy this peace of God? Quickly. First, we come to enjoy this peace, and it should be enjoyed. That's the point. You can't cultivate it. It's there. It's a condition. It's a state. It's yours. By virtue of his grace, he's the one who's established it. He's reconciled with you. Reconciled with you. You're to enjoy it. Rest in it. Know it. How do you come to enjoy this peace? Simply to continue to grow in the knowledge of who God is and what he has done. Do you know your God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you contemplate the Godhead, God himself, God is not a wrathful God with himself, is he? You know, I would caution you about visions and images of God, but you can't think of the Godhead as kind of like this huge cloud with lightning bolts and thunder coming out of it among himself. There's glory, there's honor, there's love between the persons of the Trinity. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. They are at peace, shalom. That Hebrew word rich, not only an absence of tension, an absence of war, but rich abundance and delight and pleasure. There's shalom. God is a God of shalom. He's characterized by peace. Think about your God. Know who he is. He's not wrathful toward you. That's not the first word. That's not his face. His face is love. His face is peace toward you. Know him and know what he has done. The gospel is a gospel of peace. Second, come to enjoy this peace of God by heeding a warning. And the warning is this. Devaluing this peace of God. It's as though God is like a neighbor who lives down the street. Every once in a while, I greet God, good old God. He's always there. See him every once in a while, kind of greet him. Good old God. You know, if I have some trouble, I mean real trouble, I have a little trouble, I'll take care of it myself. I'll go to other family members. If I don't have any real trouble, I'll go to the neighbor. And seek his help. Good old God. He's there. He's there. He's just whenever I'm moved, whenever it's my disposition to seek him, whenever I want to enjoy the benefits of that relationship, I go to him. And my friends, that's devaluating that peace. There is a false security. There were the prophets who said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. Good old God. If that's your attitude, you know not that peace. And my friends, go toward his people, toward you in Christ. That wrath has been fully satisfied. Make no mistake about it, God remains just.
And there will be a judgment. And that wrath will be poured out upon objects that know not the mediation of his Son. Make no mistake about it. There is peace. But only peace in him. See, the problem is we can have a false security and then our consciences become dull. And then it's good old God. I'll go out and party whenever I want to. Ah, good old God, he's the neighbor down the road. I can always turn to him. Good old God. If that's your disposition, beware. Conscience may be hardening even at this moment. Very, very dangerous position to put yourself in. Don't devalue that peace that is renewed every day. Enjoy it. Grow in it. Rest in it. And then third, come to enjoy this peace by finding this peace as a source of rest, even within yourself. Challenge the darkest thoughts, banish the fears and the anxieties, put down the weapons, and even when you see the storm clouds gather, think of the blood of Christ. Think of his words to you. Think of this relationship that he has established with you. Reconcile that peace. Go to his word. Pray. Enter into the fellowship of God's people. Worship with your mind a little bit. In order that that faith, that living ability to lay hold of Christ himself, to lay hold of his very word from his own lips, ministers, communicates peace. And truly, truly then, you will experience a peace that passes understanding, that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together.